This is Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I'm Dave, and I wanted you to know something because, well, we're getting to be kind of friends. You're about to listen to a part two episode of a podcast. So, if you want to get the full experience, I'd recommend if you haven't listened to part one, stop what you're doing right now, go back and listen to part one, and then come back and listen to part two. Unless you're one of those people that likes to do things opposite. In which case, you can listen to part two right now, then listen to part one whenever you feel like it. Just wanted you to know that this is a part two episode of our favorite 1990s albums. So the conversation is going to be joined in progress. And if you want to hear the beginning of the conversation, that is our part one podcast for the same topic. Enjoy the show.
You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
So, Scott, we'll go with your second pick, even though I'm sure it's going to be completely lame, but go ahead. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Why should he be allowed to be an ass? Go ahead, Scott. Damn it.
You're cracking me up, dude. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to have to bring a powerhouse that was actually like a serious contender for a top 100. And actually, it was in the top 100. The one list that I read, it was 31. There are three songs on this album that I am not crazy about. I can listen to them, but the one song that probably elevated this band to another level was Enter Sandman.
Mm.
And this is what they call the Black Album, which... It's just really a self-titled album. It's just called Metallica. It's not really. Mm-hmm. It's not called the Black Album.
Mm-mm.
People just have to refer to that because they don't have any other way to recognize it, you know. So I love a lot of the songs on this album. Like I can listen to them very loud, over and over. And I did just see Metallica, a couple months back, right around July 4th. And they played quite a few songs off of this specific album, and it's just really good. The ones that I'm not crazy about are like Enter Sandman. I just think it was a little overdone. The Unforgiven and Nothing Else Matters, which are two of their biggest, like, pop hits, if you want to call it that, for Metallica. The one, the deeper cuts are the ones that I like the most, you know. Through the Never, My Friend Misery. It's just really, there's some really good stuff on here, really heavy. My Style, I love it. So that's my second pick, and it's a big album. Big album.
So then if you, what's your go-to song then on this album?
I'm going to say either Sad But True or Wherever I May Roam. Wherever I May Roam really is a great song.
Okay.
That's an awesome song. It's really about riding your motorcycle out on the open road and just living that lifestyle of just getting out on the road and not looking back.
So kind of your Sons of Anarchy kind of feel.
Oh, totally. Totally. It would fit that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you like the heavier stuff, there's quite a few songs on here that are fast pace, you know, that heavy fast pace, but, like Sad But True is heavy, but not fast. It's a slow grinding melody, but I'm sure you've had to have heard Sad But True on the radio at some point in your life.
I know Enter Sandman definitely, but Sad But True, by the title, I don't know it, but I'd be curious to if I'd recognize it if I brought it up right now.
Yeah. You probably heard Unforgiven, which is not my favorite. It's a little more mellow. It's got a more of an acoustic sound to it almost. And then Nothing Else Matters was a big hit for them, which is, you know, kind of lower on my list. The deeper cuts are definitely what I like, because I think just because they're heavier, they're faster paced, just a little more intense. So. All
right. So, Black Album, Enter Sandman, or not Enter Sandman, but Black Album, Metallica, Rose, where are you at with that?
Nowhere. I honestly never listened to it. I knew it existed. I knew Enter the Sandman. I knew everybody loved Metallica. I tried to get into them. I really couldn't, which was weird. Because I discovered them during my search for metal phase back in the early 2000s. Uh-huh. And it just didn't do anything for me.
That's understandable. They are a genre. Like, they're in a specific genre. If you don't like that genre, you're not going to really care for Metallica.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not saying I hate them or anything. I mean, it's not like they're AC/DC. Right.
We lost Malcolm Young this week.
Yeah, we did lose. And we're about ready to lose David Cassidy, too.
Actually, he is passed. As of this afternoon, I saw it.
That's
a
shame.
David Cassidy went?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Seven. Yeah. He went into he went into this, like, they induced this coma.
Yeah.
And how desperate is that? Listen to us. Here we're talking about Metallica, and all of a sudden, like, we just segued right into freaking David Cassidy. We're awesome. We are awesome. We're fucking awesome. David Cassidy, rest in peace, dude. We'll always have the Partridge Family, and I think I love you.
Yes.
Aww.
I think I love you.
But what am I supposed to say? Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's news to me.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But having said that, honestly, since I'm in a generous mood and it's getting, you know, near Christmas, and we're supposed to be nice to everybody, I will revisit it. Truthfully, I just never really had
Metallica. Not, really? So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What the hell?
Okay.
What the hell?
All right, then. Sweet.
Let's hear our endorsement of albums. What the hell?
What the hell? You know, it's
that
always
would
a
be
good...
me want to listen to an album. What the hell?
You know, it's always a good critique is it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's okay for what it was.
Well, like I said, you know, I don't like their AC/DC.
It's like, all right,
yeah,
for you,
Enter Sandman was my. I knew that out. I knew that song, but I don't recognize the names of the others though.
Wherever I May Roam. Just go with that. Serious. That and Sad But True and those songs.
Actually, A Wolf and Man sounds pretty cool.
It really is, actually. It's about a werewolf, basically.
Nice.
Well, you can't go wrong with werewolves.
It's a rocking song, man.
Sweet.
And my The Struggle Within, that's deep, like deep in your head, you know. That's The Struggle Within. That's
Nothing Else Matters.
Nothing Else Matters is definitely very slow pace, almost a ballad. I would say it would fall into that rock ballad category.
Mm.
As The Unforgiven also probably, those two songs are very similar in the feel, you know, in the sound and the feel. So if you want to start out slow and kind of get comfortable with the sound of what they're doing here, those two would probably be good, but I definitely Wherever I May Roam that's one of my all-time favorite Metallica songs, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Nothing Else Matters, did you say, was slow?
Yes.
So I'm at a dance. Nothing Else Matter comes on by the DJ. Is us? Am I slow dancing?
It has the rhythm for a slow dance, but I wouldn't exactly say it's romantic.
Just a slow dance by Metallica blows my mind.
Is that a good way to describe it?
It freaks me out, but to think that there would be a Metallica song playing, and I'd be like, grab your partner now.
This is not square dancing. No, this is not, you know, hands on the butt kind of, you know, up close swaying back and forth. Although I wouldn't be surprised if some people do it, but it's
sure they do.
Definitely it's just, you know, okay, Metallica does not sing about happy, upbeat, happy things, you know?
Right.
No.
Let's just admit it. They do not sing about that. They are dark.
Not arguing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you don't think dark goth emo people dance?
Love. There's no love songs that I know of.
Well, I learned how to dance by watching the movie Hitch. So, you know, that part where he's talking about, you know.
Don't ever do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's where you live. That's my move. That's my move on the dance floor.
That's a funny movie.
So crazy.
So okay. So are you on board with Wherever I May Roam, because it's not a fast song either. It's just a good.
Yeah.
It's got a good rhythm to it. Good.
I'm actually just going to start from the beginning and go all the way through it. And like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
All right.
It's like go torture.
Yeah. Keep in mind.
Just going to rip the Band-Aid off, damn it.
Keep in mind that most of their songs are 5 minutes plus.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Just cannot deal with that commit.
It is a commitment. The album itself is 62 minutes, the whole album. So you got to dedicate 1 hour.
All right. Well, I can bring that up on Spotify, and that could be commuting to and from work.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that too. Yeah. And honestly, if I listened to it at home, Richard wouldn't have a problem because I think he's seen him like twice and live or something. So.
Yeah.
In Scotland.
So, Dave, your third pick?
My third pick? Are we on third?
Second
pick.
Sorry. Is that scotch?
No, that's I am not drinking scotch from a Slurpee cup. So I don't know what that is.
That was my, I was finishing my iced water from Starbucks. Oh.
Let's see.
How much was that ice water from Starbucks? $5?
Fwee. It was Fwee.
Fwee. Fwee, you Wesley Webbit.
Only $3? Really?
Fwee. As in,
zero, zilch, nada.
Zero, zilch, nada, nine, niche.
How do you spell Morton? Is that like Morton Salt?
No,
it is, actually.
C-E-N.
That's like Morton Salt.
Oh, isn't that awesome? I never noticed that.
I'm looking it up on iTunes right now. So.
You're awesome.
All right.
Love you, guys.
Pick number two.
Come on. Number two. I'm trying to decide whether to go with my commercial pick or my obscure pick.
So obscure, please.
I've got one that is that everybody knows, and then one that I'd be surprised if you both know. Let's go commercial. We'll go commercial. We'll save obscure for the last one.
Fine.
Sorry, Rose. Sorry to disappoint. Same year as my... Well, it wasn't my same year. No, it wasn't. This was released in 94. My last pick was 91. This one's 94. So we progressed a little bit further into the decade. But we're going to go back to 91 on my next pick. But 94, there was a album released by the band Green Day called Dookie.
Dookie, yes.
Loved Basket Case.
When I Come Around, I'm off of that album.
When I Come Around, having a blast, Chomp, Longview. Longview, actually a song about masturbation. Who cannot appreciate a song, music like this?
Wait a minute, what's that other one that they did?
There's a song called Pulling Teeth, where he talks about a relationship that he's having with, somebody, in this case, a significant other female, and she is constantly making sure that he is subservient, and it is such a fun song to listen to. So I loved Pulling Teeth, Having a Blast, like I said, Chomp, Welcome to Paradise. I mean, there was nothing bad in this album.
Basket Case.
Yeah. Basket Case, actually, the video was even... They had a little homage to the... crap. What was the Jack Nicholson movie? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It sets up where they're in a mental asylum of sorts, and then all of a sudden they give Billy Joe his guitar, and then everybody starts playing, and then you have the different scenes where they're taking their medication, and there's actually one of the scenes where you see somebody picking up like this big square thing and tossing it into a window, which was the homage to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So it was, these guys were a lot of fun, I don't want to say like a extension of grunge, but they just, alternative, they just were it, and there was nothing clean about these guys.
No.
If all of a sudden you were heard that, Billy Joe was, in barroom fights and, just causing all kinds of hell and ruckus, you'd be like, yeah, of course he did. That's expected from this guy. But, it's just that, they had such a great sound about them, but at the same time, they had a message sometimes, much like, even though I know there wasn't a lot of love for Pearl Jam, even though Eddie Vedder, he had messages, and these guys had the same kind of thing where they were anti-establishment, they were like, here's the problems with what's going on with the government, and you know, everybody has to have a voice, and mm-hmm. these guys personified that. And I mean, that generation of kids that were in the 90s, that you know, they got behind that message, and there was, you know, a lot of people that got into things like Rock the Vote and things like that, because, you know, bands like Green Day.
Mm-hmm. So I also thought Green Day was punk for a while.
That's what they're categorized as. Yeah. That's their first category is punk rock, okay. Also pop punk and alternative rock. But yeah. Punk rock, well, and I never understood why they were considered punk. Like I think back to punk is like, you know, of the late 70s with
well, yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you know, post punk and everything after that.
Yeah, I don't understand the punk category on that one. But I don't mind if I don't know if you mind if I jump in on this, but I do like a bunch of Green Day songs. I've never listened to this album, you know, beginning to end. So I don't know a lot of the album, the songs that didn't make the cut onto as far as singles go. I don't know. I know Longview, Welcome Paradise, Basket Case. She, it's not ringing a bell for the title, but I might recognize it if I heard it. And When I Come Around, that's definitely something that you hear on any of the rock stations that I would listen to. I did notice, like I mentioned, the length of the Metallica album was 62 minutes. This one is only 39. So it's less of a commitment.
It is. It definitely is.
But, you know, and then other albums after that with Green Day, I did appreciate some of their other stuff too, some of their other songs. So I want to hear some of the songs that you mentioned though, Dave, like Chump and Pulling Teeth. I don't know those at all, or Having a Blast, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, Pulling Teeth to me is it's a fun song, but like I said, the message is kind of weird, you know, where there is a subservient kind of relationship with this female. You know, so it'd be interesting to get your take on that, you know, if you were to listen to it and say, I don't know, what the hell you're talking about, Dave? Why is this a good song? But, I don't know, it's just a really fun album for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, a lot of... Yeah, I've heard so many of these songs that, you know, I'm almost singing with every album, well, not every single that's coming, you know, that's on this album.
Right. Like you're going down the list and the song is already like playing in your head, the beginning of it, or you know, a lyric of it or something. That's how I was with Santana. When I mentioned Santana, I'm like going, oh, that's a great song. Oh, that's a great song. That's a great song. You know, so I'm going to check this one out for sure.
Cool.
Because I know I already like, they already have a, you know, they got a crunchy sound. They got the, you know, the guitar sound and I'm not opposed to some of their other stuff. So I definitely would listen to this one before I listen to Pearl Jam again.
Obviously.
Rose?
Yes.
What do you think about this one? I jumped in and cut you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, you know, you obviously have a lot more to say about it than I do. I am familiar with Green Day. My daughter was listening to this stuff before I was. Of course, I knew When I Come Around and I knew their hits, the things that were played on the radio. Her favorite song is what is it? Time of Your Life. That's like her favorite song. It's not on this album, obviously, but reason I'm mentioning that is when they came out in 2004 with American Idiot, I fell in love with that album so much that
I thought that was the one that was on the soundtrack to Dirty Dancing. I've had the time of my life. Wasn't that Green Day?
Yes. How did you guess? Anyway.
Just checking. That's what I thought it was.
Oh. Yeah. So when American Idiot, I listened to the album like every day for like 6 months. And then a friend of mine told me their son worked at the Tacoma Dome here in Washington and said that they could pre-order tickets and wanted to know if I wanted tickets to go. And I asked my daughter if she wanted to come, and she was like, absolutely. So we went and saw Green Day, and I was like, man, these guys have a lot of songs. I had no idea. They've been around for a while.
I bet and, it was a fun concert, though.
It totally was fun. It was totally fun.
I could see them being a blast.
Yeah. So they're, like I said, definitely was under the impression that they were post-punk. Wikipedia's got them listed as rock. So I guess they could go either way. But this is a good album. I'm not sure if it's their first album or not, but it got a lot to say, and they don't mind using humor. A lot of times, I think it's more sarcasm than actual haha humor, more ironic humor, and they're good. They're really good, and I think it was probably a little bit more uplifting than what the grunge scene was putting out there, even though the subject matter was just as serious, they just chose to take it in a different direction. So kudos to Green Day and the gentleman that brought it up. Thank you, Dave. Not as obscure as you thought.
Yeah, no. I said my third pick was going to be obscure. Yeah, this is more commercial. All right. Yeah, but according to Wikipedia, this is their third studio album. So, but Dookie was the one that I kind of really grabbed onto. You're right, American Idiot was more critically acclaimed because of the social commentary that I was telling you about, where they really had a message behind. They gave that album like a whole story. Where you kind of had something that followed through every step of every song of that album. There was something that related to the other, songs that were before and after it. And then it was very anti-establishment of just like, here's everything that's going wrong in the world and we have to fix it. So that's when they definitely started more soapboxing, through their music. Dookie, as you said, that's definitely more of a sarcasm vibe to it, which is probably why I gravitated towards it, because I have those tendencies.
Never noticed.
You're a punk.
Gotcha!
I have my moments. Thank you, Scott.
Yes.
We interrupt this program for a special...
Hey, I don't get it.
So this is a... You know what? I just don't get it. And this is 1990s. Something that became prevalent... God, if I could talk.
Prevalent.
Thank you. Wow. Too much scotch. From the in the 1990s was the changing your baseball cap to backwards. This actually became a thing in the 90s, and I don't get it. Even to this day, I don't get it. I never ever do this, but it became a thing. It became a thing in the 1990s where they decided that I'm going to take the ball cap, for what was the, what we regularly have the bill of it facing forward. And then, in the 1990s, and I think it was probably you know, more popular with like Fresh Prince, mm-hmm. and it became a backward thing. Mm-hmm. I almost never ever put my ball cap backwards, and I never actually became a ball cap person until I decided to start shaving my head. I was like way past the 1990s, but even now that I wear ball caps a lot more regularly,
mm-hmm.
I don't put it backwards. I never even think to do that. And even though it was a popular thing back in the 90s, and I still see people do that, it's not something that I even think to do. So I didn't get it back then, and I don't get it now. I don't know why that was a thing. I don't realize why, you know, was wearing a ball cap in a normal fashion where you had the front of it facing forward, you know, did you have to like go against the establishment of regular ball cap wearers that you had to say, you know what, screw you guys, I'm going to do it my way. You know, I don't get it. I just don't understand why that was a thing and why somebody thought, you know, this is the way it's going to be, where I'm going to just buck the system. You know, was that what they were trying to do? Did they accomplish their mission? Did we decide that, you know, wearing a ball cap backwards was a, you know, I'm not, you know, because the normal establishment says I'm wearing my ball cap normally, I'm just going to wear it backwards, I'm going to wear it sideways. I don't get it. I don't understand why that was a thing. So, does that make sense?
Dave. You know, in someone's realm of understanding, it does. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here, only because we kind of need that for this segment of the show. Wearing your baseball cap backwards was a definite sign of defiance. I mean, first of all, ludicrous. You wear a baseball cap for a reason. The visor keeps the damn sun out of your eyes and keeps you from going blind and getting sunburned. But men all over decided, hey, guess what? I'm turning my baseball cap backwards because Fresh Prince did it and Vanilla Ice did it before the Fresh Prince did it, or vice versa. I don't know who did it first. But if you think about these people, they're the ones that were bucking the system, like you said. But also, what were they? It's the name of a movie. I'll give you a few seconds to figure it out. Stars Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Bad Boys.
They were Bad Boys, yes. And they wanted the world to know, hey, look at me. I am going against the flow. I am not sitting here like everybody else and wearing my hat forward and wearing my shirts buttoned, and I'm not even going to wear a t-shirt under my shirt. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to let that bad boy fling open, and I might even take it off. But my baseball cap's going to stay back to front, and I'm just going to go about my way, because chicks like that. Chicks like them bad boys. And frankly, did absolutely nothing for me. Just made you look like you needed to turn your hat around. But I'm almost 60, so even when I wasn't, it still was kind of like, huh? But I have to be devil's advocate, because otherwise the show would have no meaning. Or this segment, I should say. So yeah, so it was the bad boy effect that they were going for. I think that was the same time that young hip-hop G's decided they didn't want to pull their pants up. That's another segment altogether. Totally do not get that. I saw a lady.
That is a total different out of the segment.
I saw a lady the other day, and there was this young gentleman. I wish she was at the bus stop, and there was this young gentleman across the street. This was in Seattle. I'm not making this up. They're black. She's black. And she's like, excuse me. Yeah, you. Do you want to pull them pants up? That looks ridiculous. And he's like, oh, sorry. And she's like, yeah, thank you. I was like, damn! Okay, granted, she was old enough to be his mom, but still.
Whoever you are, thank you.
I know. She got, like, accolades aplenty from people. Well, I'm glad it was you that said it instead of me. I probably would have gotten a curse word tossed at me or two. I'm like, lady, you have no idea. But anyway, but it took...
I almost would have applauded her.
Yeah, all I said was, damn! You know, and looked the other way because I didn't want to get involved. Just in case it went bad. Okay.
You never know. And today's
day and age. Really badly, for all concerned. Not saying, you know, but I've seen it happen. You know, people get told, mind your business, none of your damn business, blah, 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 whatever. But yeah, whole backwards hat thing, sign of defiance, sign of coolness. I'm a bad boy.
Was that the reason?
I honestly think so. I really do. What else could it possibly be? Truthfully, you're not a catcher in a Major League Baseball game. That's the only reason they wear theirs backwards. They put the freaking mask on their faces when they get hit with a damn 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like one of those things where I've said many a times, I don't do a lot of research for these podcasts. So I have no idea, you know, as to why somebody decided to do that.
And you know,
and it almost feels like that can be the only reason is that somebody's like, you know, well, you guys are all doing it that way. You know, screw you. I'm going to do it this way.
David, this is how you get, like, Richard and I are having a struggle right now with men wearing blue, all blue suits, and they're bright blue. They're not navy. You know, they're not like a subtle midnight blue, almost black. They're these bright-ass blue suits with these brown shoes and the faded black tips on the shoes. And we're like, what the fuck is that? What are you wearing? What universe said it's cool to wear brown shoes with a bright blue suit? Nuh-uh. That's like women wearing black dresses with tan shoes. Sorry, whoever out there made that a thing. I think it's hideous. I don't care. Oh, it gives your legs the elongated look. No, it doesn't. It looks like you ain't wearing any shoes.
Oh, we went so way off. I know, but
I'm just saying, all it takes is one person to think that that's a good idea. And people run with it, like, forever. Forever.
Yeah, because backward baseball caps is still a thing. I mean, we're in 2017.
Yeah.
And people are still doing that. And that was a 90s thing.
Yeah, I don't see a 65-year-old man out there wearing a hat like that.
No. No.
No? It's not for them.
Yeah.
That time is past for them.
Yeah.
I bet you they even wore it in the 90s and they went, Jesus, why am I still wearing my hat backwards? God. Just saying. Just saying.
So backwards baseball caps, I don't get it. That's essentially it.
Now back to the show.
All right, so we are on our third picks. Rose, what is up for number three?
Well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but one of these times when we were doing a podcast, we were asked, or maybe it was a blog, or it was something. We were asked if we had three albums, or one album.
Is this a deserted island?
Deserted island, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And which one would it be if you could only take one with you?
And that was 80s, though, wasn't it?
No, there was one from the 70s, one from the 80s, and one from the 90s.
Oh, this was the question for the blog, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know if you remember my pick for the 90s.
I do not. I can go to our website and look, but I'll let you go ahead and tell me.
Take a minute, because I'm going to tell you it's Bone of Drag by Morrissey. That sound familiar at all?
Mm.
You know who Morrissey is, right? Please tell me. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this album was released in October of 1990. And it, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was his first solo album after he left the Smiths.
Very well could be. It sounds about
Viva Hate was. But this one, to me, had the most, say, catchy stuff on it. It says it's a compilation album, but because a lot of the stuff was released before on different albums. But it starts off with Piccadilly Pilare, which is all of his stuff, for the most part, is upbeat. If you ever listen to anything Morrissey or Smith sing, it's always upbeat. But the lyrics just throw you for a loop. And you're listening to this stuff going, oh yeah, he's singing about a gangster guy that he met in prison. And the guy was wondering if he remembered him and knew what he was all about. Oh, and this song is about this hairdresser that he met, and he trying to get his hair done, and the guy got such bad reviews that he was afraid he was going to get shut down, so he was fearful to do anybody's hair. And this is actually, this one wasn't very upbeat, but the song November Spawned a Monster, that one's actually a little sad. So it's about a child that was born deformed. But a lot of these songs on here, Piccadilly Pilare, Interesting Drug, Last of the Famous International Playboys, Ouija Board, Hairdresser on Fire, Every Day is Like Sunday. I listen to this album at least once a week. And it falls under the category of favorites. And there's certain albums that I listen to every day, as you all recall from Wednesday being Aha Day. Monday's Lamal Day from Kaja Gugu. Tuesday's Favorites. Wednesday is Aha. Thursday's Alternative. And Friday's Rock. So,
wow.
I got my whole week planned out. And I enjoy Morrissey for his irony. There's a lot of his lifestyle. I know he's a huge vegetarian, and he recently was here in Seattle and he was promoting his new album. He did a concert, and the album's called I Wish You Lonely. I didn't get to go see him because it kind of snuck up on me, but he's quite a force to be reckoned with.
Hmm.
He really is. So if you ever get a chance to listen to any of his solo stuff, I highly recommend it. He's very entertaining. Even more so after he left the Smiths. You can believe that.
Hmm. I remember the Smiths were huge in Southern California back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Mid-80s, late 80s, they were huge.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a couple of their albums.
So on this album, is November Spawned a Monster? Is that your go-to song?
No, I actually can't listen to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's got got someone crying on it, and I think it's like the real thing. Yeah, you know, like somebody really crying, not like being paid to cry.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
That's completely bizarre. It's like, okay, you're really upset. Here, let me get my microphone. What the hell?
I don't, like I'm saying, I don't know. I never really couldn't really tell you whether it was or not, but it sounds really convincing. So I just, it's just really kind of disheartening to listen to. Actually, there's two favorites on here for me. The Last of the Famous International Playboys. And he's singing about the Cray Brothers, actually. So you're familiar with that part of London's history, gangster history back in the 60s, the Cray Brothers. No?
Nope.
Okay. Somebody out there knows them. Somebody's going, yeah, I remember that. He's thinking about meeting them in prison. He used to get arrested quite a bit and for protesting and things. And he was talking to them at some point, and then he wrote a song about it. And then Every Day is Like Sunday.
So, okay. Yeah. So what's Every Day Like Sunday about?
Every Day is Like Sunday is about being, okay, so it talks about being on the coastal towns and how run down, like back in the 50s, the coastal towns were all like bright and cheerful and everything was all gleeful, and you had like the cotton candy and the nuts, and everybody's like doing their thing and riding the rides and all this stuff. And now it's all dreary and dank, and there's like these ashes that come out of the sky that nobody knows where they're from, and they think it's from like industrial waste. And it's kind of like going back there. Like, everybody always went to the coastal towns and, like, the little seaside carnivals and things like that on Sunday. But now that it's all dreary and maudlin, I guess he's saying that his life every day is like Sunday.
Huh. All right.
So, and but it's really super upbeat. And you, but you have to actually listen to the lyrics to realize that he wasn't meaning it as a compliment. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, any thoughts on this one?
I got no. I got nothing.
I'm absolutely gone on this one too.
Yeah.
You guys are so fun.
We all have our individual tastes. It's okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like we're on to Scott's last pick.
Yeah. So, this one is two very famous rockers that collaborated for, I think this is the only album that they had, and it was David Coverdale and Jimmy Page. They put an album together, and it's got a very good rock and blues sound to it. This is the one that I just discovered recently.
Oh.
That was released back in the 90s, and I can't remember how I came across this one. And it was like within the last 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, 20 years later that I heard it. I think I remember hearing about it that they collaborated back then, but this was in 93 that it was released. And I just, after I heard this whole album, I think, you know what I think it was? I think I checked it out at the library, because I used to do that. You know, I had a library on my route with FedEx, so I would just stop and I'd grab a CD, and because it was all it's free, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just throw a CD in, and I heard this CD, and I think that's what grabbed my attention on it. It's just got a lot of really good, just rock and blues, kind of a classic rock sound to it. There's a few songs that are very bluesy, heavy blues. Influence, just overall a fantastic album. I'm not going to go through the whole list of all the songs that I like. I know Shake My Tree is a good one. Easy Does It is another really good one. You know, if you're not, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys don't have any drive to actually go out and listen to this, but it really is a hidden gem that I think a lot of people overlooked. And I definitely admit that that's something that happened to me. It just flew right past me when it was released, but man, it's got some really good quality songs on it. Take Me for a Little While is a great song.
Well, yeah. I'm a little pissed off at you.
What?
You know, because I pay for overnight shipping, and you're over there going to the library. I mean, what the hell?
You know, okay, you broke up there for a second. All I heard was you pay for overnight shipping, and
you're going to the library. So you're spending time going to the library. I'm paying for overnight shipping, and I want my money back now. So you owe me.
Well, you'll have to take that up with FedEx, because I didn't actually work for FedEx. I was an independent contractor for FedEx, so I worked for myself.
Ooh.
Man.
So yeah, hey,
you had my packages on your truck, so
yep. But we were never overnight. So there.
You got an excuse for everything? You should have been doing your job rather than going to the library, sir.
I do. Hey. All right. You know how many books I listen to from the library?
Lots.
Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, Robert, how do you say his last name? I can never get his last name. Robert Michoud?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I told him that I listened to there were some Stephen King books that we were talking about or something. When I told him that I listened to them, he was, like, infuriated. He's like, why don't you read them? I'm like, because I had, like, you know, 9 hours of dead time all day long while I'm driving around. I had to have something on in the background, and I got burned out on radio. So I listened to a lot of books. Anyway, it's really a good album. Another one, it's an hour long, so it's a commitment.
What's the go-to song on this one again?
Shake My Tree.
Okay. Number one.
Yeah, number one. Take Me for a Little While, number three. That's a really good one, too. Number seven, Easy Does It. That's a great song. Love that. Groove. Good groove. Yeah.
Yep. I've got nothing on this.
I know. You and Rose. Yeah. I knew that was coming, and I have a feeling Rose is the same category, right? Nothing.
Oh, ye of little faith!
Really?
Let me tell you something.
Are you serious? Do you know this one?
My husband.
Oh. Okay.
My husband came over from Scotland with this album in his possession.
No way, really?
Really. And
now,
so
did you catch where she said that? His possession.
So we were going through his CDs,
uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, so he's got this, I got this. I'm like, oh, what's this? He's like, Coverdale Page? He goes, yeah, that's actually a really good collaboration album. You should listen to that. I'm like, is that David Coverdale and Jamie Page? And he's like, yep, one and the same. I went, I shall borrow that, thank you. And I listened to it in its entirety one time.
So you didn't like it?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I listened to it in its entirety one time. And I only have to go as far as my living room bookcase to pull it out and listen to it again.
If I
so choose.
And thinking back to when you listened to it the first time, would it be something that you would go back to and revisit?
Probably not.
Wow, okay. That's cool.
Only because it didn't really do a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
Now, once again, not discounting the fact that those are two major hitters in the music industry. And I've actually saw David Coverdale at a casino once having dinner. He is really tall.
Yeah, he's
anyway. Yeah. And very smiley.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Considering everybody at our table is going,
at least he wasn't Mr. Grumpy Pants.
No, he wasn't Mr. Grumpy Pants.
Grumpy Pants.
No. But yeah, so I understood the significance of the collaboration, however.
Okay, cool. Now, I'm really I'm just excited that your husband actually said that this was a good album and you should check it out. I think that's awesome. See?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. So Dave and my wife have a lot of similar tastes. And here we are. I need to talk to your husband because he's a big fan of Rush, and this album he recommended too. So I think we'd be on the same page in a lot of stuff as far as music goes. What do you think?
I'm sure you probably would. There's some things that you would think, because, you know, has that penchant for, you know, rock and metal, that oh yeah, he'd like these, and he'd be like, no. Like, oh, surprise me.
Okay.
But he'll give them their due. It's just not anything he's interested in.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool. So that was my third pick. No big deal. Just my personal, you know.
That's great. Great favorite. Pick.
Dave? All right,
so we are, we're on me.
We are on you.
And I am debating. Same band, but two different albums. Both released in the 90s. The original one I had up, as you were talking, I was trying to decide between the two. I'm going to go with the 91 version, like I said before. And I don't know if this band really made it huge for a lot of people. Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You really did pull one out of left field.
Really?
Didn't see that coming.
Okay.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, these guys have always had this vibe about them that I would have associated with, like, say, a college rock band. And that's the same sound that they've had forever. Their album that I'm talking about is called Fear. It was released in 1991. I had the pleasure of being able to see them in, let's say, 93, 94, when I was, once again, still stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. They were playing in the area. And what really surprised me about this band was their live performance. They sound so great. They sound like they do on the studio album. And you're like, okay, somebody's playing their album and they're just lip syncing or something. And if they didn't stop in the middle of it to tell somebody to stop slam dancing so that they were, like, cool to each other, I would have been like, I would have thought that, you know, like I said, somebody's playing, like, you know, their album in the back. I mean, they sounded that good live, where they just, it sounded fantastic. Fear is the album I was talking about. The commercial song that came out was Walk on the Ocean, that most people have heard, but they have so many other great songs on this album. One of the ones that really always struck me was one that was called Hold Her Down. And this song is essentially about the way that, you know, we've always had a male-predominant society of having a lot of predominant male people, and women as a byproduct aren't allowed to elevate to the same standard. And right. Hold Her Down as a song about that. It's a great message. But there's so many other great songs that are on this album, and it's easy listening in comparison to my other, you know, two albums. I mean, it's not Green Day or Pearl Jam at all. I mean, these guys are, you know, just great background songs. Great music to have on the background and just chill out to. You know, if you're sitting around just, you know, having a scotch or a bottle of wine and you want to just have some music to just enjoy in the background, these guys fit the bill.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make note of that.
Yeah, and So To the West Rocket, for me, they've always done that, and I've loved everything that they put out since then. And what I was wrestling with was they had a 94 released album called Dulcinea that was actually a enhanced CD back in the day when people tried to do that kind of thing. But then they discovered that, you know those were popular for a little while because people were like, oh, I'm going to put it in my computer and I'll be able to play videos from it and interact with you know, the music songs or play songs where the lyrics come up. And I actually had the enhanced CD, but at the same time it was like one of those things where it was kind of like a passing fad, because it was like they knew, I guess somebody figured out in their infinite wisdom that most of our music consumption is like on the go, so you're not sitting there in front of a computer screen. But nonetheless, I had this enhanced CD, and they had like behind the scenes interviews with the band, and they would have the songs that you can play with the lyrics, and it was just, it was really well done, and I love that album just as much, Dulcinea. But Fear was their original album that I got me hooked, and that's why I picked that one.
Cool. Nice.
So, To the West Rocket, did you guys even hear about these guys?
I know of them.
Know of them. Okay, well, that works.
Yes.
I know the first song, Walk on the Ocean. It was cool tune. I worked at a Rose Records over in Glendale Heights for, in like 1988-89. So, no, this wasn't out until then, but they were starting to come out. They had something out, and I remember selling Toad the Wet Sprocket on cassette still, and CD. Cassette and CD, they had them. But yeah, I remember hearing some of their stuff. Nothing ever jumped out at me and grabbed my attention. I mean, I heard that one, like I said, Walk on the Ocean quite a few times on the radio or somewhere. But I'll have to check this one out. If you say it's just like for chilling out and relaxing, hanging out, that's right up our alley. We put music on in the background all the time.
Yep. Fear, To the West Rocket, or even Dulcinea. But yeah, either or would definitely fit the bill for that.
Cool.
Rose, To the West Rocket, did you, were they on your radar?
Hi!
Hi!
No, actually, I knew of them.
Okay.
And I probably might have heard one or two songs. Can't really say for sure. But I didn't listen to them as a whole.
Okay.
But I would be more than willing to go back and revisit. I'm sure I've heard Walking on the Ocean like a gazillion times, but I can't remember that's what it's called.
Yeah.
You've heard it.
That'd be the one that you would have heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they sound interesting.
Yeah, they're, for a better way of putting it, it's very mellow music to just, I mean, it's great to like listen to what they're singing about, but at the same time, if you just have it on as you're doing other things, it works for that too. It's very very easy listening, and very well done.
What would you categorize them as if you had to?
I'm hesitant to say pop rock.
Okay.
I'm hesitant.
Like power pop, maybe?
Well, Wikipedia categorizes them as alternative rock.
Oh, okay.
Which I would say they're on the mellower end of alternative rock.
Yeah, I would say very mellow compared to that.
Yeah. Are they like Sonic Youth then?
I don't even know if I have a good comparison.
Okay. Just curious.
I'd say it's like easy listening. I'm just kidding.
Like Vic Damone?
No, more like, you know...
Frank Sinatra?
No, more like Ambrosia.
Oh.
No, whoa. I'm kidding. I love Ambrosia.
I love Ambrosia.
It's good salad, you know, that green stuff. But,
no walnuts for me.
Marshmallow. Yeah, I'm kind of anti-walnut myself.
Never been a fan of walnuts.
Yeah. So anyway, nice. I gotta go.
Go back. Now I want to listen to him again. So now I get to listen to Pearl Jam and Metallica and Toad the Wet Sprocket and.
Got a lot of good stuff on our list. Yeah. This time.
But yeah. We were all over the board, and yeah. We even talked about David Cassidy. So that's just really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys covered a little more ground than I did. I was like, metal. except for Santana, maybe.
No, you went outside the box with that one.
Yeah, you guys weren't expecting a mostly Spanish album.
No.
It's really, I'm telling you, it is a really good album. I didn't realize I would be into that style other than Santana's guitar playing. So really.
Yeah.
Morton Salt, I gotta listen to.
Morton Harkett.
Is that one T or two?
It's one T.
Actually, it's two if you go to buy both names. let's see. Toad. Gotta listen to Toady. Mm-hmm. Not the Toadies.
Yeah, not Toad. The Toadies, but Toad the What's Brought. Fear.
Gotta listen to. Oh, that's Fear. Yeah, I gotta make sure I listen to the right album. Fear or Dulce something or other.
Dulcinea.
Dulce. Dulce de leche? What?
Dulcinea.
You know what dulce de leche is?
No.
Yes.
What is it, Rose?
Sweet milk.
Yeah, it's like caramel milk, yeah. Dulce de leche. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love Dice Dolls. I know what it is.
Anyway,
so
okay.
That flavor by Haagen-Dazs. Got it.
What was the other one I got? What's the other one I got to revisit? Toad the Wet Sprocket, Martin Harkett. Oh, Aha. Or, well... Yeah, Aha, right?
Which yeah, you gotta do them separate. Can't do them both at the same time. Hey, and I'm not even committing you to listen to the whole thing. You know, just pick your favorites.
Are you gonna listen to Pearl Jam?
Yeah. I'll listen to the ones that I don't know. The songs that I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Just to, you know... I'll try.
Oh, you can listen to Morrissey, too.
Oh, yeah, Morrissey. Thank you. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. If we had honorable mentions.
Oh, you want to do honorables real quick? Like,
no, if
just name it. We're not going to talk about them because I got to get going.
Yeah. Stone Temple Pilots.
Unplugged. Very good, yeah.
Unplugged. Do the MTV Unplugged album.
Really? Okay.
Do yourself a favor, do a Google search, bring that up. I think it comes up on YouTube or even Palladio or whatever that channel is. And you could see Scott Weiland there in his rocking chair. Just love it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love every bit of that. Okay. I was trying to watch it earlier, but the wife came in the room and she's like, well, you want to watch a TV show together? And I'm like, all right, I guess I can't watch this anymore. But just love that, especially Plush. Plush Unplugged is the bomb.
Really? Okay. Yes. Definitely. I love Stone Temple Pilots, so I'll check them out.
Yeah.
What else? Other honorables, real quick.
Rose?
I was trying to Google something because I didn't think we were going to do honorable mentions. So anything Weird Al did in the 90s.
Oh, okay. And I had my honorables were Pink Floyd's The Division Bell and Wildflowers by Tom Petty.
Ooh, and excellent.
Might be Might be And the Heartbreakers. I can't remember. It might be.
Excellent album.
Yeah, that's a really good album. There's a lot of good songs on it. So yeah, those are my honorables.
Oh, Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
She was angry.
Thank you, girl.
She was an angry elf.
Angry Canadian.
Angry elf. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so Bad Hair Day, Off the Deep End, Running with Scissors, Alapalooza.
Any of those, huh?
Any of them. The Food album.
Well, apparently I'm not worthy, according to Skipper Martin, of listening to Weird Al, so...
It's okay.
That was a fun one.
I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
No, I didn't.
Good.
So, I am losing sleep at the moment, though.
Yeah. So, I said, for the sake of time, we should wrap this up.
I apologize.
It's okay. We get it. You're an old man.
Thank somebody.
Yeah,
we do have to say thank you to somebody.
And that's exactly where I was going with that. You want to go ahead?
No, you go. Go for it, man.
Yeah. Shout out. We had to do a huge, huge shout out. And you know, the thing is like, you know, he sent us an email that said basically, you know, let's play this cool and say, you know, he's just a random Patreon follower, but I can't do that to the guy. Frederick. I love this guy. I love this guy so much. And what it was is that he donated to our Patreon page, which is essentially he's donating $5 a month as a contribution to us to do our thing. Now, what's even great about this guy is that he has jumped on board with us since we were doing 80s Reboot Overdrive, where we had this... this event that what it was is that Southgate Media was hosting, that he contributed $25 in order to be on our show, but then he passed on it just because he didn't want to interrupt the vibe between Scott Rose and I. But you know, I've changed his mind on that, but it's just around the timing part. You know, and the thing is just that, you know, he has not only contributed, you know, to be on our show on that one time thing with $25, but now he's becoming an ongoing Patreon of ours, and he continues to contribute to us. He continues to send us feedback around what's going on with the episodes and what he likes and the, you know, what he's getting from our podcast. I cannot thank this guy enough. I cannot. And what even floors me even more is that he's not even in the U.S. He's in Denmark. So, we have this guy that loves what we're doing enough to say, I'm going to give you a little something, you know, to help you guys put out what you're doing. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Rose and I and Scott, we all say the same things where we're like, we'd like you to, you know, do a iTunes review and rating. But myself, I'm putting that lens on myself. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I go, I want you to do that for Bonsai Retro Club, but I haven't been doing the same thing. I haven't made those kind of commitments. I haven't gone back and said, you know, I listen to these podcasts, even though I subscribe to about 3 or 4 of them that I listen to all the time, I haven't given them a rating review. Frederick has. Frederick mm-hmm. has donated. Frederick has given feedback to us. This is what I should be doing to other podcasts that I also enjoy. So yeah. I want to be like Frederick, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. So he's taught me something. He's taught me about the person I want to be. Is that fair?
Wow.
That is awesome.
That is some high accolades from Mr. Frederick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I agree. He's awesome. Thank you so much for helping us and listening to the show and being part of the family, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely Team Bonsai.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Thank you, Frederick.
Yeah, and, you know, I would encourage all of our listeners, whether it's for Bonsai Retro Club or another podcast, interact. Interact with those people that you listen to on a regular basis. Tell them what you like, what you don't like. I hope it's us, but if it's mm-hmm. not, then, you know, reach out to them and say, hey, I really liked episode blah, 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 you know, and mm-hmm. do that kind of thing. I can't tell you how much that means to a podcaster, you know, mm-hmm. give them the rating review. And if you have the means, donate something to them. God, I can't tell you how much that means to me. So please do it. All right. So, that is about the best shout out I could think of.
So, that's pretty good.
So that's it. Rose, you got anything to throw out there for closing out?
No, just thank you everybody that listens and continue with the reviews and the comments, and we appreciate your patronage, and we'll just continue to be the awesome people that we are and hope we can find more fun stuff for us to talk about.
Oh, cool. We got plenty to talk about. There's so much more to talk about. I can't wait. I look forward to it every week. That we sit down and we do our recording, and you know, sometimes we come up with ideas at the last minute. Sometimes we know days ahead of time, but it's fun no matter what we talk about. It's just a good time. You guys are fun to hang out with and just chat like this.
Ditto.
Yep, totally agree. And I'm so looking forward to when Scott gets done with Stranger Things Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to get it. Hey, and don't forget, we still have to plan a day for The Last Starfighter.
We totally need to do that, yes.
I'm not sure I know where my copy is.
I know where mine is.
What the hell? Come on, Rose. That was a Christmas gift last year.
Okay. I moved. I don't know what I did with it.
Good point.
Well, once you find it, let us know and we'll have to do that.
Okay.
So,
we'll anyway. Definitely
do. All right, guys. It's late. I got to get up early.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to cut it short or shorter.
All right.
No. So we did.
Everybody be excellent to each other.
Yes. Stop. Stay groovy. Take care. We'll see you later.
And have a good whatever.
All right. Bye.
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 This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!